just started the book of Galatians yesterday, where we could say faith plus nothing equals salvation. You can't add anything to faith other than grace. Like Paul wrote, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. You can't add anything to it. And it's utter blasphemy and an assault on the grace of God to think that you could possibly add something, whether it's giving money to the church, whether it's the food that you eat, whether or not it's what you do to identify your body with somebody else. There's nothing you can do to add anything to what Jesus Christ did by dying on the cross. This is the problem here in Galatia we're going to find, is that once he left town, these certain people, and we're going to be introduced to these words, unawares, sneak, spy. You see, these people could never come in through the front door. They're like certain politicians, where they could never tell you what they stand for, because if they did, you'd never vote them in. They have to creep in unawares, unnoticed, in the back door, and that's what happened there. We'll get to that as the weeks unfold. Here today and tomorrow, introduction here to the book of Galatians. Faith plus nothing equals salvation.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Okay, we're in the book of Galatians, starting a new book here today. I see you guys got bumped out of your seats, huh? There's nothing worse than a Baptist losing their seat. Them be fighting words, right, though. Now, I encourage you, stick this in your Bibles here. I'm not going to read all this to you, but let's go over at least some points of the outline together that you'll see on here. Of course, overarching everything in the book of Galatians is the mathematical equation, faith plus nothing equals salvation. So for the outline for Galatians, you see here for number one, we're going to notice on here too that this is the gospel of grace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right, isn't it? The gospel of grace. That God has done something for you that you didn't have coming to you, that you didn't deserve it, that there's nothing good that you could have done to have God do what he did by sending the only one who knew no sin to die in your place. We're 10 seconds into this and we can already say, that's good news. Thanks, Steinbrook. You got me all worked up. All I had to do was read the gospel of grace, because I lived a tough life and I love grace. I love grace. God's been good to me. The gospel of grace defended, chapters 1 through 2. Then Roman numeral 2 here, the gospel of grace explained, chapters 3 and 4. Then on the back side, number 3, the gospel of grace applied. And that's the rest of the book. And that's how Paul teaches. He'll split a letter, usually evenly split. He'll talk about doctrine in the first half of the letter, and then he'll show you how to live it out on the second half of the letter. And that's, this will be exactly like that. Neatly even. That sound like Snagglepuss. Neatly even. 6 chapters. 3 is teaching. 3, how to live it out. How to, you know, how do I live the Christian life? So this will be out here on display. It'll be a handout for the entire, from now to the 4th of July when we're done with this book. Any objections? No. Any objections? I feel sorry for Sue's daughter is visiting. Does he really hit people over the head with that gavel? Okay. Let me read a little bit of my intro here. The Galatians, having launched their Christian experience by faith, seemed content to leave their voyage of faith and chart a new course based on works, a course that Paul finds disturbing. His letter to the Galatians is a vigorous attack against the gospel of works and a defense of the gospel of faith. Paul begins by setting forth his credentials as an apostle with a message from God. Blessings come from God on the basis of faith, not on the law. God is not good to you by keeping rules. Because I got a clue in for you today, you can't keep rules. You'll always fall short. You'll always miss the mark. So again, God's blessings come from God on the basis of faith, not law. The law declares men guilty and imprisons them. Faith sets men free to enjoy liberty in Christ. But liberty is not a license to sin. Freedom in Christ means freedom to produce the fruits of righteousness through a Holy Spirit-led lifestyle. Probably my favorite book in the New Testament, believe it or not, is Galatians. Other than the book of Revelation, what we're going to witness in this book is the greatest threat to the church of Jesus Christ here today. Like I said, other than being lukewarm at the end of the age, this is it. Paul's letter to the Galatians. I'm referring to the threat, that is. For all of those out here who think it's nostalgic to be Jewish, when in fact you're Italian, maybe like me, or you're Irish or German, or you're Swedish or you're Swahili, there's a great misunderstanding out here today. The Old Testament Jewish law was not written for you, nor was it intended for you to follow. You are not Jewish. The law was not written for you. Paul said that as a believer, not even as a believer, but as an unbeliever, you've got the law of God written on your heart so that you're without excuse. God put it on the inside of you. But the Ten Commandments were not for you to follow. They were for the Jews following Moses, not you. Now, my 2 cents worth regarding why this was written. After Paul left Galatia and founded church there, actually churches there, we're going to see that certain legalists crept in the back door, so to speak, and they forced these Gentiles to keep the Jewish Old Testament law in order to be right with God and in order to be a Christ follower. They also trashed Paul and tried to get the people there to stop listening to him and to stop regarding him as an apostle. So as soon as he left, they started whispering and gossiping and trashing who he was and trying to make him say that he really wasn't an apostle. So these are the things he's up against. We'll see right here from the beginning, Paul defending himself and is right from verse 1 here and his apostleship against these evil liars that crept into the church there. Same as today. Modern Judaizers out here today hate the Apostle Paul. I like this quote too here before we get started. Quote, this epistle is a heated, vigorous, uncompromising defense of number one, Paul's authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and number two, the gospel of the grace of God. Think about it. The gospel, gospel means good news. The good news of the grace of God, that is while you were still a sinner, Jesus Christ died in your place. That's the gospel, gospel, euangelion, evangelist, gospel is good news. The good news is God loves you so much that he sent a sacrifice down here to die on the cross in your place. And now what these guys were saying is, nope, that's not good enough. We're going to get to that as we go along here. It is directed against the insidious inroads of the Judaizers' teachers who were denying the all-sufficiency of Christ's atoning work of salvation. And when they were demanding that the Galatian converts be circumcised and keep the law of Moses in order to be right with God. Paul's ringing defense of justification by faith has frequently been called the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. So what a 1-2 punch we're smack dab in the middle of here at church, huh? We got the book of Romans on Wednesday night, right? We're coming up to the most famous chapter of the famous book ever written, chapter 8 in the book of Romans this Wednesday night. And now here, starting here today, the book of Galatians. Because the time is going to come when all of you here are going to need to know this information and to be solidly grounded in God's word. Everyone here is going to need to know all this. You're going to need to have a working knowledge of what to do when you run into someone that starts this logic on you with the questions, well, this is how these things go. Wouldn't you love to walk where Jesus walked? Sure. Wouldn't you like to live where Jesus lived? Wouldn't you love to eat what Jesus ate? Well, of course you do know that he didn't eat pork. Because pork was forbidden in the Old Testament law. Oh, well, if Jesus didn't eat it, maybe I shouldn't either. Then, of course, you know, we go to church on Saturday. You see, all of a sudden now you're being twisted from what the church did. The church met on the first day of the week since Jesus was resurrected again. And now here are people, and they can never come in the front door because they'd be thrown out of the front door. You got to come in the back door. It's like any crooked politician out here, Democrat politician, they'll never tell you what they believe. Because if they told you, you wouldn't vote for them. If they told you what they believed, you wouldn't vote for them. They can't tell you. Same as these guys here. They got to come in the back door. Not the front. Okay. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Here we go. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He's already defending himself. He has to prove that he was an apostle from God, Father, and Son. Not through a spaghetti dinner on a Wednesday night. You never pick an apostle through a spaghetti dinner. No apostle was ever chosen through a spaghetti dinner or even a lasagna dinner. Though that's pretty close for coming up for a good reason. Apostles, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Apostles come through Father and Son, never through man. That's why there's no instructions in the Bible with how to choose an apostle, because men don't choose apostles. Jesus chooses apostles. So Paul, an apostle, not from men, neither through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead and all the brethren who are with me to the churches, plural, of Galatia. First of all, you see how important it is to have a literal Bible? Look at the distinction here in verse 1. Men and man. Some translations change men to people. They aren't literal like that. It's important to have a literal Bible to see. Now, right here again, he's defending himself and his credentials here. Verse 1. Paul, number 1, not from men. Again, nowhere in the Bible are there instructions on how to choose an apostle, other than Matthias, who replaced who? Judas. Anyway, I don't suggest gambling is the best way to choose one, as they did. Funny, imagine if we tried that here. Huh? Who will be the next deacon? No, they're both deacons. Imagine that. Who will be the next deacon here? Dwayne or Darren? And if I use dice to decide, and I roll 7, and we pick Dwayne. And if I roll craps, we pick Darren. Imagine that. That's how they did it. Whoever got the short end of the straw was in it. No, let's not do it that way. Men don't do this. Number 2, not from man. No individual man made Paul an apostle. Paul became an apostle, it says, by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Notice we're working on a trinity here. Jesus is not the Father. The Father is not Jesus. There are two different, distinct people, but one God. Amen. Thomas bowed the knee to him and said, my Lord and my God. But he's not the Father. So I don't suggest if someone knocks on your door and asks you about the Apostle Paul that you answer and say, we don't follow the Apostle Paul here. Because the Apostle Paul wrote 14 books of the New Testament. And if you don't follow the Apostle Paul in your little group of heretics, then guess what? You're not Christian. I hear crickets around here. Let me try that again. Paul wrote 14 of the 27 books in the New Testament. If you don't follow... See, like actually Wayne said to me Wednesday night, we follow Jesus Christ. But he is the one who led to put all this stuff in Paul's heart and mind and spirit. If you don't follow the writings of the Apostle Paul, you're not Christian. How in the world could you say we don't follow him here? Okay, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father raised him from the dead. And all the brethren who are with me, under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Standard greeting reads like a Christmas card, doesn't it? Grace and peace. May the grace of God be with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ fill your soul. I love this verse here. I think it was on the bulletin. John 14:27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's nothing better than I can think of other than the insurance of my salvation to walk out these doors with this morning than to walk with the peace of Jesus Christ flooding your soul when you leave this church here in about 3 hours this morning? What better thing? David wrote this, Psalm 119:165. He says, great peace have them that love thy law. That's the word. Great peace have them which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. How you doing with that? Are you there yet? Where nothing shall offend you? Then perhaps we need Paul to greet us like that. What do you think? Because I can sure use some grace today. How about you? We blow through these verses too fast. I can sure use some grace. I stop and consider myself. I've come to the realization that this old boy is in need of grace. I need God to put his hand on my face like my dad used to do and say, son, I love you. It's all right. I love you, son. Grace. Funny thing is, you find is the more times you realize that you deserve this, is when he gives you grace. When that hand comes out, comes on the side of your face, and says, I love you. That's what we need. We read through these verses too fast. We want to, let's try and hurry up and get through this opening here, but come and greet me like that, Paul. Matter of fact, I sure wouldn't refuse the peace of Jesus Christ either. With all the evil and turmoil out here in the world, how about a little peace today? How about if I slow down over that verse this morning? Any objections? I think we could do a whole sermon on receiving the grace of God and the peace of Jesus Christ. Does that interest you? Or how about a 52-week series on tithing? Sharon, is it? No. The grace of God. Pastor Paul, I forgive you. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. Count me in. That's for me. Pastor Paul, how about some peace this morning? The same peace that gave the Son of God the courage to get up on the cross when he didn't have to. The peace of God that passes, you'll never get it. You'll never understand. And it's for you. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Even though you might lose your job if you don't take a shot.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
So it's with everything I am.